Father, we just say thank you for another wonderful evening. We bless your holy name. We adore you. We glorify you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We thank you because your presence here with us, our Father and our God. Father, we ask that you speak through us, open our understanding, open our minds. Help us to hear from you. Help us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. Father, we thank you because you have made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we're looking at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. From these verses, we immediately see that there's the word war. And this war is not to be conducted after the flesh. And then we notice that there are weapons of warfare. Again, war. And then warfare. And so what is this warfare about? It is about casting down, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And how do we do this? The weapons are provided by God. They are mighty through God. These are not our weapons. So we see that this covers an area which we would call the mind, knowledge of God, strongholds, and every thought. And we would agree that the mindset with which we come into this service is extremely important. I could come in here thinking that what's this man going to say? I don't think he has anything to say. So that would determine what I receive and how I understand. I could come in thinking of my dinner. And because I'm thinking of my dinner, my mind is somewhere else. So the mind is a very important part of the human makeup. And we see that this warfare is in the mind. Let us look at Ephesians 6:10. We're talking about the warfare. Ephesians 6:10. Now, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And it goes down from 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith." Above all. This is the very important one. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise the Lord. So again, we see that not only is there a warfare, there are fiery darts being fired in this warfare. There's an armor provided for us. Now, again, we read earlier that this warfare centers in the mind. What if I think I don't need this armor? What if I wonder that, what do you mean by fiery darts? I'm in the 21st century. How does a fiery dart want to affect me as a believer? This is not talking to this present time. This is not real. And anyway, where will I put the armor? Where will I put on the, how will I hold on the shield of faith? So there must be an understanding. There must be an understanding. And that's why in the earlier verse we read, it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Brothers and sisters, the question is, how many of us will say we practice this aspect of the Word of God to capture every thought that comes into our minds, then weigh it against the Word of God and see, does this thought line up with the Word of God or does it not? We're enjoined here to capture every thought. And why? It says, every high, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we need to know our God. And we need this knowledge to be able to stand in the day of battle. And we see here that the battle is arrayed against us by an enemy, and that is the devil. He is the one who is out to get us. So once we get born again, we know that we have an enemy. We know that we're his targets. We know that an armor has been provided for us. We know that weapons of warfare have been provided for us. What do we do with them? Is the next line of action. If we look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. It says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Again, here we see that he's talking of the mind. What is corrupted is the mind. And who is the person corrupting it? The serpent. And how has he done it? He has done it earlier at the very beginning to Eve. He was able to succeed with Eve. So the Apostle Paul is telling us here that I'm afraid lest this same enemy, we've read in Ephesians 6:10, that it is the devil who is our enemy, who we're waging this war against. It says, lest this enemy, just as he defeated Eve, will defeat the believer today. And I pray that in God's case, by God's grace, none of us will be defeated by him. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. So for this reason, we find that Peter, in 1 Peter 1:13, he advises us. 1 Peter 1:13. Peter advises us, he says, wherefore, this is the solution, get up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So there was a period of time we were fashioning ourselves in a particular form of lust. And this was due to ignorance. And that's why it says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. So it says, as obedient children. So it says, capture every thought. That is what our Father is telling us. How many of us exercise that discipline to see how do I think? It says, cast down those imaginations. Imaginations of failure. Imaginations that I can't make it without so person. Imagination as if, oh, a terrorist might get me down the tube tomorrow. Fear, worry, anxiety. Terrible imaginations reeling in the mind. It says we should cast them down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Then, Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1:23. I'm just trying to allow the scripture to speak this message. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And you find that what he's saying is similar to what Peter said. Peter said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. So we see that salvation is one thing. You're saved, you believed. Now, to the end, hope to the end. And Paul is saying, if you continue, he says, if you continue in the faith. So, here we see the secrets. The battle is against your faith. A lot of us are assaulted daily by cares, by worries, by fears, circumstances, all to stop us trusting God, all to stop us having faith in God. But Paul tells us here, if you continue in the faith, not only continue, grounded and settled. You must have that faith in Christ Jesus. You must be grounded and settled in the gospel. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We must never be moved away from that hope, which we have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. So it is our duty to continue. Let's look at a practical example. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. This is a practical example. The Apostle Paul again. It says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It is my prayer that each and every one of us will have this testimony. We will know when the time of our departure is at hand, and we will be ready. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. He has not given up. He has continued to stand in faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. He is the vine. We are the branches. We have his life flowing into us. And without faith, we can't please God. Faith is the center of the work, because God created all of us. All things were made to please him, not to please ourselves. But these days, the table is turned. We are living to please ourselves. But no, God said he made us to please him. That is the point. It's so important. And if we miss this, we miss the knowledge of God. It is an assault on our mind by the enemy. It's a fiery dart. I'm now living for myself. I want a better house. I want a better car. But let us go on and see what the Apostle Paul is saying. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, look at that word. I have finished my course. His own particular course. He has finished it. That tells each and every one of us that each and every one of us have a course we are called to run. There is a course set out for us. And he knew that he had finished his course. It is my prayer that each and every one of us will know the course God has called us to run. And we will finish it. And on that day, we will say, I am ready. And look at the end. He says, henceforth. That's the conclusion. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. This is the prize. This is the prize. What if he didn't finish his course? What if he didn't fight the good fight of faith? That's why he told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. All the enemy needs to do is to stop us believing in Jesus Christ. To make us get to a place where we think, I can do this by myself. I don't need God. And then Paul himself says, I do not take the grace of God in vain. He says, having given us his only begotten son, no good thing does he withhold from us. We get everything we need for this race, for this work we've been called to, through Christ. And it says, anything that is not of faith, faith in Christ is a sin. And that's why it says, contend for the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't leave that faith no matter what. And it's a long journey. It's a long haul. It's a very long haul. The Bible says in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. And why? It says because men will be haters of those that are good, lovers of self, truth breakers. And we see it everywhere now. All kinds of horrible things happening. And then how can I love in such a time? But faith works by love. Faith works by love. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul has confidently said it. I have a prize waiting for me. It is my prayer that we will also be able to say, I have a prize waiting for me. So he now advises his disciple. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Who is going to lay hold on it? He says, lay hold on eternal life. Yes, but he's born again. He has eternal life. He has the life of God in him. But he says, lay hold on it. It's active. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't let it pass you by. He says, whereunto thou art also called. This is what we have been called to. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. But I want us to look at the verses that precede that. Let's start from verse 9, 6, 9. Because you remember we're talking about the mind. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare. People want to be rich for a particular purpose, for a particular plan. They do not believe that Christ is their prosperity. You remember the story of the rich young man. He actually walked away from the one that made all things and for whom all things were made. He walked away. Why? Because he couldn't give up his prosperity. Not knowing that that was nothing compared to the person he was standing before. He says, and they fall into a snare. And you remember that this game is a mind game. Satan is after the mind. He's after the mind. He wants you to think that Christ cannot provide for you. So I will provide for myself by going about it this way. And you know that this way you are going about is contrary to what God has said you should do. But you say, God will forgive me, so I will still disobey God and come back and ask for forgiveness. But then the Bible says, beware, God is not mocked. That is mockery. You know you shouldn't do it. But you say, I will do it. I will get away with it. I will go and beg God later. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. There's a day of harvest. But Paul is saying in his own harvest, my harvest is a crown waiting for me. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. So he's advising the younger man, and he's advising all of us today. He says, they fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts and drown men in destruction and perdition. That is the love of money. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You see, they have erred from the faith. They coveted after these things, and therefore they left the faith. Faith in Christ Jesus, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then he warns Timothy, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. So for the first time, we see the instruction of keeping a godly mind. You make up your mind. Follow after righteousness. You decide, I will follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, humility. You see, because there's nothing you have that you were not given. The earth we are in, the plants, the food, everything comes from God. Your brain, you are the most brilliant, you are the most pretty. Look, there are some tribes, they'll say you are very ugly. Because what they consider beautiful is what you are considering ugly. So it's in the mind again. So you see, that's why God deals with the inner man. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if we go to the hospital and we do an X-ray or MRI, you can't find Christ in that person. But he's there. But no X-ray will see him there. Praise the Lord. So Timothy is enjoined, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Then let's look at 2 Timothy 1:3 again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Oh, I think that's the wrong. Okay, that's the wrong citation. But let me read the scripture. It says, hold fast to the form of sound doctrine. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus.
2 Timothy 1:13,
yes, thank you. You see, 1:13, yes. Hold fast the form of sound words. You see, there's an enemy, he wants to steal it from your mind. Hold it fast, which thou hast heard from me, in faith and love. And where is faith and love? Which is in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we must remember that we too are in Christ Jesus. He's the vine, we are the branches. All the enemy wants is to separate us from Christ, to make us go out on our own. Our pastor was saying today, except the Lord builds, those that build, they build in vain. God has a cost for each life. Nobody is better than you. You are not better than anybody. He's building all of us up as a house to be indwelt by him. And as such, there is no place, no place for we complement each other. We are not competing with each other. We are all being built up into a house to be indwelt by God. Like one man of God said, it's not how good a brick you are. It is how well you fit into other bricks. And so, What makes you feel that you're better than the next person? The same plan that he used for Eve, he's using it today to attack the minds. You are not good enough, or this person is better than you, or you are better than this person. It's the same pattern. He's reaching that pride in you. Because the Bible says he made men of one blood, of all races, all over the world. We all start with Adam and Eve, and this is where we are today. So you might say, I'm better than this person. But you have one progenitor, Adam and Eve. So there's a relationship between everybody. And it says the family of God, of whom some are in heaven and some on earth. We are all members of one family. So we must hold fast to sound words. We must walk in faith and in love. And this faith and love cannot be found anywhere else. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. So we mustn't forget the enemy is after our minds. He doesn't want us to think properly. That's why it says capture every thought. That thought that comes into your head, this is the way I'm going to go to make it. No, that's not the way. Is it the way, the truth, and the life? If it is outside that way, you're on the wrong way. There's only one way, only one truth, and only one life. But all over the world, what they worship is not what we worship. They want fame. Our sister Mary was saying today, she saw the crowd, and she thought to herself, everybody wants significance. Everybody wants to be popular. Most of the young children now, I read somewhere, said their attention span has shortened drastically. You cannot preach for 1.5 hours or 2 hours again. They will sleep off. They won't remember half of what you said. Why? Because of the electronic games. So, she says they want significance. They want this, they want that. They want to be popular. So what do the young children do? Sports. Football. Why? That's the quickest way to fame. Singing. Then they get into these things and they realize that there's a lot of discipline called for in these things too. You have to practice regularly. There are so many people. And they're not ready to do that. Praise the Lord. We would look at Romans 12. Romans 12. This is the cure for the mind. The mind. Remember, he has said we have the mind of Christ. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. We can think properly. God has already given us a sound mind. The enemy will tell you that you have to attain that mind. No, God has given it to you. Let's quickly look at Romans 12:1. First of all, it tells us what to do with the body. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. It is something you have to do yourself. God won't come down and do it for you. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why is it your reasonable service? You were dead in sin and trespasses. God gave you the life of his only son. That life quickened your mortal body, gave you a new life. And that is the only reason that you have access to him. So he now says your own service is to present that body. Somebody calls you an idiot. Somebody slaps you. Somebody treated you this way. Somebody did this to you. I must get my own back. Does he know who I am? You are nobody. And one thing I've learned over the years is that this enemy, he says, as he beguiled Eve, that person who is doing that nasty thing to you, it might even be an agent of Satan sent specifically for that purpose. He might be an undeveloped believer, a carnal Christian. But Paul told the carnal Christians, he says, all things are yours, whether life, whether death, whether Peter, whether Paul, whether all things are yours. And God loves them. But now you allow your faith to connection to God to break because you are reacting to what somebody has done to you. So in one fell swoop, the devil kills two birds with one stone. He has gotten two people. You are at each other's neck and throat. You are devouring one another. Why? He says, can't you suffer yourselves to be wronged? He says, forbearing with one another in love. That's what we're called to do. So if somebody has wronged you, you have the example of your Lord and Savior. You saw what he went through. Not only do you have the example, you are now in him and he's in you. You have his life. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are not weak. You can overcome. You can do all things through Christ. He strengthens you. And then in verse 2, so having dealt with the body, he now goes back to the mind, which Satan is out to attack. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who is going to renew the mind? It's you. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you transform your mind in line with what God says. You agree with what God says. That is living in faith. No matter what you are seeing around you, this is what God says. This is what I believe. This is what I stand on. And we will say, I have fought the fight of faith. He says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, again, the mind, he says, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Each man has a measure of faith. Don't think highly of yourself. Don't think you are more than anybody or anybody is more than you. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And so this is what the devil is going to attack. He doesn't want you to agree with this. I am separate from you. I am an individual. I can't give you my phone number. I will not be your friend. But we're all believers. And he's coming from a remote tribe in Kangalu. And he doesn't have toothbrush. He doesn't have anything. But he's accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. But you say, no, these are not. He's washed in that precious blood. So he says, we are one body. Then he says, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. You see, each person, there's a scripture that says, he saved us, he called us according to his own purpose and grace. A purpose and grace which was given to us before the world began. The individual purpose and grace each person has was given to us before the, and it is now made manifest by the appearing of Jesus. Christ our Lord has abolished death. He has brought life, he has brought immortality to life now through the gospel. So he says, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. I want to emphasize this, he that giveth. A lot of believers become very rich, and they don't know that the ministry God has called them to is the ministry of giving. So they say, I am rich by my efforts. They don't know that God has made them rich to bless the body. So they hold it all to themselves. Now you can see that Satan has got that one. Or he that exhorteth to exhortation, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Not only bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own sight, in your own conceits. Yes, that's it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. This is the word of God. It is not Brother Alayemi saying it. If it be possible, as much as lieth with you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. So you see the cure? We overcome evil with good. So the more evil that person is to you, the more good you do to him. That is the calling for each and every one of us. And you cannot do it in the natural. You can't do it because be not conformed to this world. That's what the world will not do. You have to do it by abiding in Christ, by faith in Christ. We'll conclude by looking at Revelation. Revelation 3:21. Because it says, let Satan beguile you. And we do not know the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's simple. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's very simple. And what has he done? He has given you his own life. It is no longer I that live. It is Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in Christ. So, it's not what you are called to do. You are called to yield. And this is the reward. Revelation 3:21. Yes, it says, To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now just think of that, sitting with Jesus Christ in his throne. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So even our Lord Jesus Christ had to overcome. So we too must overcome. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Brothers and sisters, that means that it's possible that you don't overcome. It is possible that you don't overcome. So you must overcome. It's not automatic. And this is the conclusion. 1 John 5:4-5. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Remember it says, be not conformed to this world. The world wants to conform us. Yes. And it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith and living by faith in Jesus Christ is the victory that we have over the world. We are overcomers. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you help us to guard our minds with all diligence, for you have told us that out of it are the issues of life. We ask, O Lord, that we be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.